Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is episode number 25 of the EBNP. Our guest is Guy Artenmeyer, co-founder and CMO at DraftBuff. Guy's experience and history in esports is both robust and tenured, with over 5 years of experience in different areas of esports, including content creation, marketing, man management, and project management. In this episode, Guy and Trent discuss the journey that got him to DraftBuff, why DraftBuff is developing an app for esports enthusiasts, and what he foresees for the future of esports. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Welcome to the show, Guy.
Yes, pleasure to be here, Trent. Very hyped to be here. Glad to talk a little bit about me and DraftBuff today.
Awesome. Guy, you're all the way out in Korea, and before we started, we were talking about internet and goofing around a bit about my speeds and talking about how Korea is so forward and advanced. When did you decide to move out there?
I moved to Korea in almost 2 years ago, in April 2019. So back then, it was two personal reasons, to be with my girlfriend, who became last year my wife. That's why I made the decision. I used to work anyways remotely for the past year. So, it was a decision that was very straightforward to me back in the day. Right now living in Korea, getting used and adapted to the country, couldn't be better. And, living pretty much at the center of the global esports,
Absolutely.
I think it's something fascinating. And, for any game and your esports enthusiast, is really a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, going over a little bit about your LinkedIn and searching around the internet to getting to know you a bit virtually a bit more. You've been doing esports and esports adjacent things for a long time. You have a long credentials and history in the space. But what first got you into gaming when you were growing up? Was it your parents, the kids you grew up with, brothers, sisters? What was your experience getting into gaming?
Yeah, so first of all, I grew up in Brazil. So that's where I live until I was 17. And then I moved to Germany because I have German-Brazilian citizenship. So my father is German-Brazilian, my mother is Brazilian. So, a very big, beautiful cultural mix there. It was mostly because of my father. I remember growing up with him playing Civilization 2, the old version, you play Hot Seat. One computer for multiple players. And then we play both of us against AI. I have very fond memories of playing Civ with him. He still try to keep in touch and play Civ 6 these days with my father, whenever he has some time. And FIFA, a big football / soccer fan. So I used to play a lot of FIFA when I was growing up. And that's literally when I was 5 to 6 years old. So I always has been mostly a PC gamer. Honestly, barely had any consoles in my life. I just got used to play PC games since I was very, very little. And it kind of evolved from there, back then in Brazil, there wasn't really games in Portuguese, translated everything. So mostly my father used to get me new games and everything was in English. And I sort of was kind of forced to try to translate and see what was the game about, everything in English. And that actually helped me, learning English from a very young age. And, 15 years later, it helped me very much in my professional career. So, I always tell kids when they ask me wow, you're English now, for a foreigner, you speak English very well, And they ask me, yeah, play games, kid, play games. And then, you're going to be good as well, I think, the impact that gaming has for one's development is really underrated, And I think people forget that, you can learn languages, you can talk to people, interaction. So that helped me a lot during my early years, my formation. So yeah, I think got a little longer of your question, but yeah, my father was a huge figure to me to help like becoming a huge like game enthusiast. And that of course evolved over the years, and then I became like a big World of Warcraft player in the 2000s. I still am, to be honest. And you know, like that evolved like League of Legends, which is still like my main game, let's say. But yeah, pretty much like a short overview of everything.
So English is your third language?
Yes, English is actually my third language. My first language is Portuguese, and second one is German, and then English, and then I speak Spanish in a near fluent level as well. And my fifth one then will be Korean, that I'm considering living in Korea. Yeah.
So are you considered a polyglot?
Well, technically...
Or is that six or more languages?
Yeah, technically definition of the word, technically yes. But I assume that, you know, I learned the language through like, you know, like my life experiences, like born in Brazil, living in Germany for 10 years, living in Korea for 2 years. English, you know, has always been my main working language. So I think like I consider most of that I learned those languages through my life circumstances. Although, you know, I enjoy learning. I try talking different languages a lot, you know, like whenever I have the opportunity, I try, you know, like to talk expressly. Even my Korean, of course, is nowhere near, you know, like fluent yet. But, you know, like I try not to talk, I try to be fluent. And that actually is very helpful for like, of course, for esports career, you know, where there's so much going on in Korea. So, but yeah.
No, yeah, I've always found it really interesting. The diversity and the cultures that come into esports, and there are quite a few polyglots in the space, and it's so useful in the business of esports, being able to make these sort of negotiations internationally, and just being someone who's an international person, it helps so much in doing business locally, whether you're in Asia, Europe, or the United States, wherever you are. Obviously, there's different regional differences and colloquialisms and accents that go to each and every place's version of a language. But it's really cool that you're putting that work in. But speaking of esports, when was your first introduction to esports, the community?
That was pretty much with League of Legends back in 2013. So I used to be like until then a big MMO player. I didn't, you know, like pretty much like I heard much about esports back then. I knew it was a thing already, like in Counter-Strike, in StarCraft, but I still, you know, didn't have like the true content to it. So, but then like 2013, I decided, you know, like I watched this tournament called the League of Legends World Championship. I didn't understand much about what's going on. But then, like, I saw, like, you know, like, literally thousands of people watching the final, like, between SKT and Royal, you know, in Los Angeles. Like, I was like, holy crap, like, this, you know, is huge. This is getting huge. And the same day, I downloaded the game, literally, and started playing League of Legends. And 7 years later, well, I kind of can say it changed my life a little bit, considering I have been working this for the last 5 years. But yeah, no, that day, like watching the finals, you know, like when I saw like SKT winning their first World Championship in the Staples Arena, like, you know, seeing literally like was 15,000 fans cheering, you know, for them, for the players, and, you know, screaming pretty much. I saw, wow, like this is like, you know, had the potential to become like just like football, just like soccer, you know, like I grew up in Brazil, like, you know, not only playing games with my father, but also going to soccer stadium to cheer for our local team. And, you know, like, I often went to the stadium, like, 30,000 people, like, screaming and cheering for the team. Like, you know, Brazilians are super passionate about soccer, like, super passionate, which it can be good or bad sometimes, depends on the occasion. But either way, you know, like, the passion, you know, like, that's something, when I was watching the finals back in 2013, is something I could, like, remember from soccer, you know, like, I could, like, see the parallels there. So I was like, wow, this thing is going to get big. So again, like same day, download League of Legends, start playing, and kind of never stop until today. 7 years later, still playing. Of course, a little less because it all work and stuff, like responsibilities catch you eventually. But, you know, like that was the day, I think, where, you know, my life kind of changed. It. Yeah, it led to everything that happened in my life so far. So even like being in Korea, I'm here in Korea because of esports, because esports gave me a opportunity to work remotely. So, yeah, but that day, never gonna forget.
Yeah, that's a great, you know, first introduction to esports at the world finals for League of Legends. So after that, you've obviously gotten different opportunities in the space. But what was the first gig or job that you got in esports?
Yeah, so that's like, you know, I started to follow esports. Then, like, you know, I watched the finals, as I said, 2013. And 2014, I watched a lot of League esports. Like, literally, a lot. LCS, like, ULCS, NALCS. No words, everything. I tried to watch everything, learn more about the game, you know, like be the expert about the game. And then I started like thinking, okay, like I want to work in this industry. Like this looks so cool. This looks amazing. But how do I start, you know? Like I didn't have any connections. I didn't have any experience in esports. Like, and I saw, you know, hundreds, thousands of people, you know, trying to do the same as I did. Trying to, you know, make esports in their profession. Try to find a gig in the industry. So I just decided to start my own thing. In the end of 2015, I noticed like there was a kind of a gap in the era of like content creation, in the meaning that there were a lot of people interested in creating content, writing articles, you know, but there was no platform to release them. So I just like, you know, like got a platform out there, like created something in a couple of weeks, like, you know, my spare time, called splitpush.net. Was mainly like a League of Legends portal. Like, you know, I created a portal, add some stats, you know, like team, player stats, you know, like a very simple looking, but like I call it back in the time, like 5 years ago, like it was, you know, pretty good. And I started like writing some content myself. Like, you know, back then I spent around 2 years like watching a lot of low esports. So I felt myself comfortable writing about it. And then I started like publishing articles on Reddit, on other social media, and slowly I started like, you know, asking, you know, like, if there's anyone has interest in writing content as well, you know, like I offer my platform. And people started answering, you know, and started like releasing, writing articles on Splitpush. And things started growing from there, you know, like very fast actually. And I think like I released the platform in January 2016. And by April, we had like 5 different writers. By July, we had like 30 different writers writing content on Splitpush. And I put like, you know, I created a system of like revenue share, you know, like based on how many views your articles get, you know, people get revenue based on what you have. Wasn't that much, to be honest. Like, you know, esports media was and still is a very complicated area. I know that very well. But people had fun, people enjoyed, people appreciated. And I think, you know, like in August 2016, we had over 500,000 page views monthly already. So it was like very methodic, very fast. And I was approached by Gamer CEO, Riyad Shikrani. Mm-hmm. So a very great guy. Like, you know, he's still like, of course, around here, like as the leader of .esports these days. And he made me an offer to acquire Splitpush. Which was like for me, like, you know, wow, like I started to make money in esports, you know, like that changed the game completely. Now, my parents until then, they were not exactly supportive. Like, no, they always supported me, whatever I did, but they were worried that, you know, like I'm not making the most of my time in esports because, no, I wasn't making that much money. But the day that I got the offer and, you know, I told my parents, and like that, I think, was the day they also thought, wow, like literally people can make like a career in video games these days, like, you know. You open the world. Like these days, now they love esports. They understand even a little about the game, which is very fun to see. But yeah, I accept the offer and I start working under the Gamer's umbrella for, you know, for some time. And yeah, that was pretty much like what kickstarted my esports career. Then I got the connections. I got, you know, like more, you know, experience in the industry, which of course helped me eventually. Even after I left Gamer's in 2017, kind of helped me getting all future gigs that I know that I got in the industry, and work up in a bunch of different stuff, you know, over the last 4 years, like on state.gg, like stats website, which was acquired by Mobalytics, acquired on Invent Global, working on Invent Global as well, you know, like writing content, you know, doing some content as well, like content management, SEO based, and end up like, you know, landing on DraftBuff, which is, you know, like my biggest project. Surely, you know, so far, you know, like, has been amazing the last like almost like 1 year already. But yeah, glad to tell a little bit about that soon as well.
Absolutely. Tell us about Draft Buff. I'm, you know, there's the marketing and advertising out there. You know, it's a fantasy platform, but tell us, like, what's the motivating driving factor behind Draft Buff? Why was it designed? What is it looking to accomplish?
So, Draft Buff, you know, as I said, like a fantasy esports platform. But differently than other esports fantasy esports platforms, just like DraftKings, FanDuel, you know, like where they aim at gambling, the betting side of things, where you can actually make money. We offer a purely social experience on DraftPuff. That means you get the app, you get, like, you can play on the website now. You create a fantasy league, you know, like everything for free. Invite your friends, and you know, purely have fun together. You know, like have fun, like drafting the players. You know, like I literally joined like more than a dozen of drafts for this season, and you know, like I'm meeting new people, having fun. So that's what we wanna bring with DraftBuff. We wanna like make fantasy esports fun and a social experience to all esports fans. And I think we are aiming to do that. Like, you know, we got like a lot of traction in games such as League of Legends, Call of Duty, and Overwatch, which are like, you know, our big three. We also have like Rainbow Six and Counter and CS:GO. But we wanna make, you know, the fantasy experience fun. I mean, like, you know, like over a fun social game for esports fans, like, you know, is like, you know, our first and foremost priority for everything we're going to be doing around DraftBuff. So, you know, we create a fantasy platform, offer like a different types of fantasy games, like ranging from the draft leagues. You know, I know like everyone in America loves to play fantasy football. That's like, you know, you guys like, you know, are crazy for that. And we want to like try to bring the exact same experience, but for fantasy esports. For League of Legends, for Call of Duty, for Overwatch, you know, for these games. I think, you know, there's millions of esports fans out there that, you know, they need fantasy, but they don't know yet. I know that's the thing. Like, I think America, like, for instance, in America, like, people love, you know, millions and millions play fantasy football, like, with colleagues, with friends, with family. And we want to do exactly the same for esports. And that's why, like, we're getting our word out there, you know, like, like me as the CMO of the company, like one of the four co-founders and the CMO of the company, I'm doing exactly that, trying to get our word out there, working with different influencers, doing like, you know, different marketing campaigns to get like, to bring, you know, like to let people know that, hey, we exist, you know, like we offer a very cool social experience, go check it out. And very, you know, I'm impressed to see like our growth through all, you know, last year. Like last year, the platform was released in November 2019, so a little over like 1 year ago. And since then we had like over 100,000 downloads already. So you know, it's pretty awesome to see like, you know, the community support for DraftBuff. I know like something, one of my biggest, like, you know, let's say pastimes is like is going on Twitter, going on Reddit and checking to see what people are talking about DraftBuff, people interested about DraftBuff. Because that's where I know, like, you know, we are doing something successful. We are doing something that, you know, is having a positive effect in people's life. When people start tweeting about DraftBuff, like, ah, guys, like, if someone wanna play DraftBuff with me, like, you know, in the season, stuff like that, I can see, you know, DraftBuff helping, like, doing exactly what it's supposed to do, being a very, like, interactive social experience for social to esports fans, and people, you know, like, not only like having other ways to interact with their existing friends, but as a tool to find new friends, to, you know, to make, like, to find new people who have like a very interesting hobby in common, which is like being an esports fan, you know, like either like be like League of Legends or COD or, you know, or Overwatch, as I mentioned, you know, like you can find people with common interests, like, you know, and I think like we are achieving so with DraftBuff. So yeah, like last year was a year, like, you know, where we kind of introduced DraftBuff to the world. We released our first titles. This year is, I think, like the year where DraftBuff will be coming global. Again, and that's like, you know, again, like that's my multiple language knowledge is going to come handy as we expand into the global market. So I actually already talked like with Brazilian partners, with Korean partners, you know, like being able to speak the languages surely come very handy. So, but yeah, this is the year, like I think DraftBuff is going to go global, expand it into even more esports titles, you know, to try bringing this like social fantasy experience out there.
Absolutely. And as you were kind of introducing the myself and the audience to draft buff. I was thinking you mentioned traditional, or I mean American football, not to be confused with traditional football or or soccer. And one of the things about American football is it's highly embedded into the it's usually highly embedded into American pop culture, outside of course 2020 and COVID-19 and everything that it has been going on. I think one of the things I was thinking, and I want to ask your opinion on this, is with a draft fantasy application, I feel not only is it beneficial to the social audience, the consumers of esports, but it's highly beneficial to esports players in promoting themselves and bringing attention to who some of the celebrities are or top performing players are. What kind of benefit is Draft Buff bringing to the players?
Exactly as I said, you know, like people are more aware. People start to follow more certain players and things based on their draft. So for instance, like if I draft a player from a team that I don't know very much, and that player, I just draft because it was like my last lot, it's like just a snake format, just like American football. And I just draft this player, I don't know much, but it was the only one available. Let's see how this player's gonna do. And then you start watching the game, of this player, like this team playing, just to see how this player's gonna perform. And the player does well, kicks and everything, gets you 50 points, which is a lot on draft off, and you win your fantasy league because of your player. You start following the player more, obviously. You become a fan of the player. I think I had an experience in the summer last year. I played with some friends, and they draft, one of my friends draft a player called Zazel, a support in the LCS. He played last year for Evil Geniuses in the LCS. And he didn't know nothing about Zazel. He thought, the name Zazel, I like this name. Sounds very good in it. And let's see how Zazel is going to do. And Zazel actually did very well. And my friend was over the moon. He started he literally started following Zazel on Twitter, on social media because of his good performances. So I think when you're talking about how this affects players, I was thinking about my friends who became a Zazel fan because of his good friends and performances. So And then that's something very cool to see, because we have pretty much every single LCS, LSC, player, the Call of Duty League, every single player who are playing these leagues are, draft buff. So you get to know, especially if you're a sort of casual fan, only the big names, only perks or caps or, formal, the big names in the esports scene, you don't know, kind of the upcoming ones. So having them on draft are actually very helpful, for these players. Especially, of course, they need to perform, though. That's up to them. They need to perform well, to give the player enough fantasy points. But, I think it gives us, we can showcase new players, new teams. And that's something very cool. And obviously, not only that, but it helps a lot as well with, having, the fantasy players watch more esports because they are more engaged on it because, they're playing out on a fantasy league. Most esports fans either they follow only one title or they follow certain teams or players. But having them playing fantasy on draft, that means they're gonna have a team of varied players, varied from varied rosters. That means they're gonna be more engaged to watch more than one team, more than one player, because they wanna see how your fantasy players are doing in real time. So they end up watching more esports, per default. I think we have some metrics. I think that, I did a short research survey with our fantasy players last year, and I think 80% of them say that they considerably watching more esports because they are playing fantasy. And yeah, I think that's something very interesting to notice. So. And obviously, the big publishers are also noticing that. So that's why, we are also in talks with the big names in the industry to, how we can work together, with DraftBuff and their leagues, because they have been noticed that, playing on DraftBuff, the people playing on DraftBuff, they are surely watching a lot, they're consuming a lot of content. And obviously, for every publisher, having better metrics showing, retention, showing more viewership minutes, like views per minute, I think it's called the metric, is super damn important for them. So that's why, like, you know, since late last year, we have been talking with some of this, you know, big publishers in the industry, and hopefully this year we can, you know, start working on an official basis with some of them.
Absolutely. And you mentioned another thing. You mentioned that you've been, I mean, you are the CMO. You are, you know, a quintessential in the marketing advertising for DraftBuff. Yeah. You know, you're coming on a show like this, Esports Business Network, where I'm a content creator and I also work in journalism a little bit, and we're able to kind of platform and bring more attention to DraftBuff. What about working with influencers and working with the players? Have you, what sort of integrations are you offering for players or maybe streamers to integrate DraftBuff into their content creation?
Yeah, excellent question as well, because we are, you know, we are working with a lot of influencers these days to promote DraftBuff. We try to have a very organic approach to help, like, we're promoting, like, DraftBuff to, you know, influencers communities. So, like, you often see, like, you know, some advertisements, some ads, you know, doing in a very, like, eddy way, as I call it, you know, like, just, like, posting a tweet about, like, some new product or something like that. But, it looks and reads like an advertisement. And honestly, that doesn't work out in the esports, like, in the esports ecosystem nowadays. I think, you know, esports fans are very savvy. They are smart enough to identify that, you know, like, the sellout and, like, nature of a product or of a platform. So for DraftBuff, luckily, we have a very social, very interactive platform in our hands. And I try to use the most of it when, you know, advertising DraftBuff, when you're working with influencers to promote DraftBuff. So, you know, the best way, you know, to do something like promote DraftBuff is just, you know, like, we have the influencer, you know, the YouTuber, the content creator, the player, having a fantasy league for themselves, like, create a fantasy league. And they just, like, tweet it out or mention on stream, you know, like, guys, like, I'm playing a fantasy league on DraftBuff, you know, like, that's how it works a little bit. You know, like, I have, like, 6 spots on my league, you know, like, anyone interested to play with me? And then, like, suddenly we have, like, 300 comments, 400 comments, 500 comments, people, like, writing, me, I want to play fantasy. And people end up checking that out, you know? And we have another fantasy format called, like, Draft Royale, which is a sort of DFS thing, of course, without, like, the money, without the betting side of it, where you just, like, you know, have a certain budget, like, you know, like, 200 coins, like, one player, each player costs, like, 30 coins, and then, like, you have a fantasy roster. So the same thing we do, like, with influencers, like, we create their own, let's say, Draft Royale league, and they just, like, ah, guys, that's my team for this week, you know, like, let's say, what do you guys think, you know, like, I didn't make the right choices for my team, you know, like, if you guys want to check it out, like, you want to try, you want to beat me, you know, like, some of, like, depends on the influencer, like, they have, like, they're known for their trash talk mentality. They're going to try to tease their community and see, like, okay, guys, that's my team. Now it's your turn. Can you beat me? I doubt it. But let's see. Let's see if you can try. And people end up joining. So, and then we have end up having, you know, like, draft rounds with 3,000-4,000 participants, like almost 5,000, I think, one time. So that shows, you know, like, that people, they are, like, you know, esports fans. They want to be challenged to do something, and they want, like, to be introduced to a product, a platform, in a very organic way, in a way that doesn't really look like an ad. So that's why I work very close with anyone, like, we work with, like, you know, to try to create a campaign based, you know, on the content creator, based on the content creator's personality, the way they interact with their community. That's, you know, we adapt our campaigns based on that. And that's how we start promoting DraftBuff. So, you know, certain, like, influencers, we go on a very, like, even a little bit traditional way to promote, because, you know, that's what works best in their community. Others, we go, like, full, like, overboard, like, very trash talky, very, you know, interactive, because that's how it works best with their community. So that's why, you know, like, reach out to influencers, like, that normally is a process that takes some time, because I need to find some connection to the person, you know, like, we're going to be promoting DraftBuff with. I just, you know, don't like to just promote DraftBuff, you know, just for the sake of promoting. I like to promote with someone that's going to be truly interactive and engaged with the product. So, it's my pleasure to have been working with the content creators that, you know, all of them, they have been enjoying playing DraftBuff a lot. So, I can see when they're promoting on stream, you know, for example, like, we work with League of Legends coach called Yamato Kano. He's now, like, coach for Fnatic. And we worked with him for the last year's World Championship. And he's like, his promotion like on his stream was hilarious. You know, like he was having so much fun. I could see like him having so much fun, like playing Treff, and like it was a very successful promotion because, you know, his audience could clearly see he had so much fun on the platform. So they want to try as well. And they end up trying and having fun as well. So that's what we want to do. You know, we want to work with content creators, with influencers that we can, let's say, adapt our campaign based on like what they are like, how they interact with the community. But also, you know, we want to work with people that are truly having fun with DraftMath. And again, not for the sake of promoting, we want to work with people who are actually enjoying DraftMath as well.
Absolutely. And so you mentioned something earlier. You said that you're in the future, you're looking to work with developers and teams and leagues potentially. What is the monetization model for DraftBuff? How are you generating revenue?
Pretty good question. So obviously, because now I have been picking right now, like everything for free, free to play. So I know you might be thinking like, what the hell did guys make money, right? But yeah, no, we have like a bunch of cosmetic items on DraftBuff. Like we honestly, to be honest, we just released a bunch of them. Like we have a lot of plans for this year. To offer like more monetization options on DraftBuff. But one of them we have right now, we have in the form of avatars, where it's kind of like your, let's say, your virtual mascot, you say, of your fantasy team, who is like cheering for your team, let's say. So you can like, you know, get some, we have like a shop called Banana Store. And if you use our virtual currency called bananas, you can buy the bananas and you use the bananas to buy like, you know, those virtual mascots, the avatars. Who we know are in turn going to start cheering for our team base. Like, if your team's doing well, they're happy. If your team's doing bad, they're crying. So, you know, like, I feel like fans are, you know, having a lot of fun, like, you know, with these mascots. And, you know, we have received a lot of feedback and they have been, some of them have been very successful. So we're definitely going to be releasing a lot of them this year. And, you know, like, we also have like a full-on chat system on DraftBuff. And we have like a system of like unique emotes. So we are going to start offering some emotes to buy, like, you know, some like trash talk emotes, like a GG easy emotes, you know, or, you know, not even close, you know, like some kind of interactive stuff that people can like just post it when chatting to their league opponents. You know, like I play against you this week and I beat in your ass, you know, very hard. I just get all BM emotes as possible to, you know, to tilt you there. So that's something like, you know, again, that people have been using a lot, having a lot of fun with. So yeah, we are one of the ways, of course, as I mentioned, like, you know, is the cosmetic product approach and with cosmetic microtransactions. The second one, which we're also gonna start like, you know, like pursue this year. You can create your fantasy league right now. You can like fully customize it. You can, you know, like offer a very unique experience. But we also wanna offer like a premium experience for fantasy leagues. So users will be able to do even more customization, more unique features for fantasy leagues, but that would be like, you know, a premium feature. So either like the commissioner, you know, the person who creates a league, we're gonna have to pay like a fee, you know, in form of bananas, or each member of the league pays, you know, a small amount of bananas each. But you know, some premium features, you know, to make even a better, more unique experience for fantasy leagues, gonna be like a premium one. And that's like something that we noticed that, you know, is very popular in fantasy football as well. And we want to bring, you know, exactly the same format to, you know, to our fantasy esports leagues on DraftBuff. So, and of course, the third way will be advertisement. Like, again, we're discussing talking to partners and a platform that's used by over 100,000 people. And like, you know, we have like a stellar, you know, average sessions per week and time per session numbers. You know, like the average DraftBuff user, they use DraftBuff for over 40, 50 minutes per week. So, you know, like it's huge numbers. And of course, like, you know, we have advertisers that are very much keen, you know, to be showing their brands, you know, for people who use DraftBuff for almost an hour per week. So we also log in talks with, like, you know, brands to, you know, advertisement. And at the same time, like, you know, they can have their branded fantasy contest, you know, like, and so, you know, try to work with brands on that aspect as well. So yeah, that would be like, you know, the three main ways we have right now that we, you know, can generate revenue from DraftBuff. Right now, of course, the focus to, like, you know, user acquisition and grow our presence overall, like, you know, in the English speaking scene and soon on a global basis. But you know, throughout this year, we want to start, of course, generate more revenue with the platform. And you know, like with the community support has been amazing already. Like I couldn't thank the community or Drupal community enough for it, because you know, without them, you know, I sure we wouldn't be here, you know, right now. So I think, you know, only through the community support we could keep things going. So, you know, really appreciate that. Like, you know, we have a Discord server, like with our, let's say, most loyal users, let's say, the ones who follow, like who play a lot of Drupal, and there are some great guys there that I got to know. So, and that's, you know, I think will be like the biggest lesson I have, you know, like for everything esports related. You can't create anything in esports without a community, you know. So I'm very blessed. I think we are very blessed at Drupal for having such an awesome community that supports us entirely. So yeah, excited, you know, like what we did, but you know, even more excited for this year and the future of Drupal for sure.
Absolutely. So the main revenue driver is microtransactions. You talked about advertising. You talked also about some of the new larger transactions with premium leagues. Yeah. Are you looking into a subscription model or some form of monthly buy-in from users, or potentially like a premium league team or commission developer that would want to get involved to provide sort of like a subscription model of some sort, like a offered a certain amount of bananas or whatever. Yeah. Is involved in that. Does that matter?
Actually we test something similar last year already, like in a first version called the Draft Pass. So you know, like many games have their battle pass, you know, like you started with Fortnite and other games, and pretty much like most games have like a battle pass version. We tested exactly the same thing for Draft Pass. So we had like a battle pass version, like, you know, 10 levels. And depending on your fantasy performance, you earn XP and you unlock new tiers. And every new tier, you know, gave you a reward, like a cosmetic reward on Draft Pass. And of course, we have the free version and we have the premium version, which was like, you know, like a pay, like cost like around $5. And you could unlock like some unique avatars, unique stuff, so and like some unique emotes as well, you know, for the platform. So you know, that was our first test into like, as I said, a more I still consider like the kind of subscription, because like it's a one-time investment, but still like an investment for people, you know, like who are very engaged on Drupal. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, because at the end of the day, we want to show everyone that, you know, we treat Drupal as a game. Not like as a platform, mm-hmm. but as a game. Like we offer fantasy mm-hmm. as a game. And that's why we mm-hmm. also study other types of games to be released this season. So we want to expand, like, you know, we want people eventually not only see Drupal as the esports, fantasy esports platform, but also as a game platform. So mm-hmm. now we have been studying other games we're going to be releasing in the future. And I think having the Battle Pass format is very important to give, you know, everyone the impression that, no, we are a game as well. Like we had quests. You earn XP, you know, just like, you know, any other game out there, like just mm-hmm. like, you know, a little different in the format of fantasy esports. But you know, like our long-term view is that we're gonna have like several games on the platform, and you're gonna have like a battle pass format. You earn XP, you complete quests, and all that sort of thing. Like all core modules, all core aspects that any like MMO or any like RPG, you know, like all the sort of games have out there, we're gonna bring something similar to Draft Buff. So we're probably not gonna have like, you know, a subscription model, like you know, just monthly subscription model, but we wanna make things around the battle pass. And that's gonna be like Absolutely. Something very interesting for us to work on. Right now the battle pass is not active, although we are planning to bring that back on like the second half of the year as we tweak things over, as we potentially release like a new like game mode, you know, like Beyond Fantasy, which, you know, personally I have some great ideas. Everyone has some great concepts, you know, very excited to bring something very fun for everyone. So we can like bring something beyond fantasy esports to the community. And start being known as a game platform. No, that's like one big goal that we have as well.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to the developers and the leagues and such, what sort of information do they receive on the back end for maybe getting some insight into how they might strategically create content. And what are you looking for in the form of a brand partnership?
So let's say for any publisher, you know, like for us having like an official endorsement would be a huge deal, you know, like because like it or not, you know, like people are more likely to play, you know, like to use a platform that is officially endorsed by a league, for instance. And that's like where I've been talking to like to several like names over the last months. And that's like will be of course one thing, you know, like an official endorsement, like to bring officially a fantasy, you know, to fans of certain games. But also like on the brand side, you know, like we also like have like access to, no, literally like, you know, like data patterns for 100,000 people, like how they play fantasy, you know, like how they interact with the platform. And that's something like we know that publishers, you know, like are very interested about, because it's something like, you know, we can like kind of potentially partnership on data exchange, and we can, you know, like upgrade our platform, like we can upgrade RapUp, and they can like, you know, personalize, like, you know, customize their experience even further to tailor it based on, you know, like how people enjoy, you know, watching esports. So because RapUp like users are mostly like, you know, the hardcore esports fans, the ones who tend to watch a lot already. Although obviously we have been seeing a lot of like casual users stepping in and starting to watch more esports because of it. But, you know, like it's still like a fairly percentage of user base, you know, is the people who actually are big fans. So it's something of course that anyone is very interested about, Chef, you know, like to see how they, to understand how, you know, like big esports fans think and how, you know, they consider, mm-hmm. you know, how we can improve their experience. So that's something like you have been also talking to and see like how we can, you know, like kind of share our experience to see, you know, how we can improve our respective products or leagues and so on.
Absolutely. And so as we're wrapping up here, I want to ask you a question about the future of esports. This past year, esports has gone through sort of a reckoning in ways, but in a renaissance in others. The growth of offline esports and LAN tournaments was hindered, but the growth online was exponentially grew. And so, what do you think will be the next big thing for esports? What is it that's gonna really bring in that, you know, fan engagement, that direct connection, that reason for people to really feel invested in a particular team, title or league? What is it that thing that's missing?
Yeah, I think first of all, like, you know, 2020 proved that esports, you know, like kind of nothing stops esports, you know, not even a damn global pandemic that, you know, has been terrible across the entire world, which stopped actually, you know, pretty much all traditional esports, you know, for several months. But that didn't, that actually stopped League of Legends for 1 week. Now, that mm-hmm. was like the COVID impact on League of Legends, for example. It stopped everything for a single week. So, you know, like one big lesson 2020 is that like esports is extremely resilient, and that, you know, like we managed to survive like very well a global pandemic. But the next big thing for esports, I think, is a very good question in the sense that I don't think necessarily a big revolution is needed. I think we are right on a very good path. I think esports, as you see, is becoming more and more in, let's say, part of the big media. We see like esports, you know, like being treated, you know, start to be treated as traditional esports in the sense of like coverage by traditional media, even like, you know, if on television, that sort of things. Even if I don't think esports need television, like need like TV broadcast to succeed, you know, like it has its own culture, its own like demographics. So I think like, you know, as a fully online, as a streaming business, is more than successful. I think, again, nothing really is necessary. I think these days, if we see like, you know, a 12, 13-year-old kid. Now, I remember when I was 12 and 13, and that was like some time ago already, I wanted to be a soccer player. And most of my friends as well want to be soccer players, or, you know, like most things like this, you know, like, or like doctor or lawyer, you know, like this traditional stuff. If we go like to like a primary or middle school these days and we ask like these kids, like, what do you want to be when they grow up? We're going to hire like esports athlete, no, esports player, streamer, YouTuber, those sort of things. So I think now like we already set up like, you know, a very like a solid basis for that within the next 10 to 15 years, this new generation who is like right now growing up, they're going to be like, you know, growing up and going to be like 80% of them, like 90% of them fully into esports and in gaming in general. So right now we have like already a very growing scene. But I think most importantly, like, you know, the kids who are going to come up, you know, in some years, they're going to come up already very familiar with everything. And that's why, like, again, like I come from Brazil, like a huge, like soccer, you know, fan crazy country. And I remember growing up as a huge soccer fan. All my friends are as well. And when we grow up, we stay like, we keep this, like, I'm still like a huge soccer fan. And that's like the pattern we're going to see with these kids in 10 to 15 years from now. And that way, esports is going to be even bigger. And then, you know, our kids, their kids, and so on. So that's like, you know, how traditional esports evolved over the last century. So like people start falling, start growing, and then like a kid start like, you know, falling, playing, you know, taking a look, and then the kids grow, and then like, you know, their kids start falling because of their parents, you know, and so on and so on. So it took like traditional esports over a century, you know, like to go to the stage that they are today. And for esports, it's taking like, you know, 20 years, let's say, less maybe. So my view for the next 10 years is that, you know, we're going to keep growing. I think for esports, what the industry needs like is stable growth rather than explosive growth, because I'm sometimes a little afraid that, you know, everything grows way too fast. And if it grows, some things grow faster than others. If you see like, you know, in League of Legends, for instance, the salaries are growing exponentially, but that doesn't necessarily reflect on the income, on the average revenue that teams and leagues are making. And that's like a concern I have, that certain numbers are growing way too fast when compared to others. And that, you know, the long term, the medium term even can be very dangerous for the like the ecosystem's health, the ecosystem's future. So, you know, honestly, sometimes I think like stable growth is better than like just explosive growth. As long as this stable growth, you know, like is gradual year by year. I think, you know, like if that happens in the next 10 to 15 years, esports is going to be on a very cool spot. And I firmly believe it's going to be like on a very similar status than traditional sports today. So we're going to have like big media like covering esports, like they, so let's say covering football. And then right after, okay, but here now the esports news, you know, like it's going to be something like that. And I'm very excited now to be a part of this amazing journey.
Absolutely. And I like to ask, do you have one piece of advice for someone just getting started and looking to make esports, even a hobby, career, whatever it may be? What's that first piece of advice to get involved in esports?
Perfect question, because, you know, that comes, you know, to memories back then. Like, it wasn't easy. But so that's why the first big advice, never give up. Like, it's hard. It's hard to make an esports. It's an industry that even nowadays, I think, is much harder than 5 years ago. Millions of people around the world, you know, like are fascinated about esports and want to start working. Millions of young people, you know, like as I mentioned, people these days, they dream about being esports players, YouTubers, you know, and streamers. But at the end of the day, like not everyone's gonna make it. So now if you're truly passionate about it, keep grinding, keep trying, never give up, and be creative. That's like my other big lesson. Now try to find something new, try to find something you feel you're comfortable doing, and just do it. Don't be afraid doing. So like, I think three advices in one: never give up, be creative, and, you know, don't be afraid of trying. You know, I think because even if like you try and fail 9 times, if you succeed in the 10th one, you're set up. You start your esports career. So yeah, for everyone, like young folks out there who want to make like a esports in a career, keep grinding, never give up, be creative, and everyone, you guys can make it as well.
Very inspiring and very motivating. Right before I let you go, where can people find you? How can they get connected with you on the internet, in the real world, whatever you choose?
Well, I'm in Korea right now, and COVID isolated the country, but you know, I would definitely welcome, you know, after COVID, like everyone like come to Korea and calling me up so we can have some K barbecue, like, you know, food's amazing in Korea, so I definitely recommend. But yeah, like right now, like if you guys like know anyone want to check me up on Twitter, like it's Twitter GAMCAP, GAAMCAP. Like I'm very active there, although I don't post that much. I'm most like of a lurker on Twitter these days. Maybe because I just don't have time like to come with a nice creative Twitter ideas for myself. I prefer doing that on the DraftOff account. And of course, like, you know, you can also follow DraftOff on Twitter. Like, you know, we're creating some good content there and hope you guys can check it out. And yeah, mainly on Twitter, and you know, send me a DM there if you're interested in chatting more. And it would be a pleasure to help, pleasure to give some tips. And of course, a pleasure also to talk a little bit more about DraftOff.
And how can users download the app?
Very good question as well. DraftOff.com is the place to go. So just go to DraftOff.com and you can, we released last month our web version. So actually you can start playing fantasy on your browser as well, like initial version. But, and then you can have like there on DraftOff.com, you can also see links to download the DraftOff app for iOS and Android.
Awesome. Once again, Guillerme Artenmeyer, also Guy, goes by Guy. You can check him out on LinkedIn, Twitter, all the things that he had mentioned before. Once again, this is the Esports Business Network podcast. Thank you for listening. Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our Bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the Bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.